Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Jeremiah, in this wonderful book, a rather strange book, a difficult book in some respects, but we've learned that Jeremiah, the prophet, communicating God's word, uses a lot of imagery. And here, if you turn in your Bible with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, we're going to read about a potter.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. We often hear that the power to change ourselves, our communities, and even our world can be found in you and me. But this is not the teaching of Holy Scripture. Today on The Verdict, we're discovering just how dependent we really are on the grace of God and the power of God. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson from the book of Jeremiah, In the Potter's Hand.
Today we continue in the potter's house. We learned that the Lord is the potter and Israel is the clay. Don't be afraid of the potter. He's the living God and actively at work in your life. He loves you, so don't resist him. The historical context was that Israel continued to abandon God. They disregarded the law of God, did not listen to him, and fell into immorality, injustice, and idolatry. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? We also began to think about three things about clay. The first was that the clay can't turn itself into a vessel. That is, don't trust yourself to think you have all the answers. Look up to God. Don't resist him, as the clay is under the control of the potter. Let's learn more from the potter's house.
Let me read, first of all, the first 11 verses of Jeremiah chapter 18. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." Jeremiah going to the potter's house. I want us to learn three things about the clay. First of all, to say the obvious, and all of these things are obvious, the clay cannot turn itself into a vessel. Secondly, the clay is under the control of the potter. When the potter sees some problem in the clay, again, verse 4, he reworks it into another vessel as seems good to the potter to do. The potter is all-powerful. The clay, well, is just clay. The clay is under the control, can we say, under the loving care of our Heavenly Father. So first, the clay can't turn itself into a vessel. Secondly, the clay is under the control of the potter. Third, the clay serves the good purposes of the potter. That's obvious, isn't it? You know, being on the potter's wheel, have you found it can be rather monotonous? You ever get a bit impatient with God? You want a different opportunity in life, and it seems that your life is a bit on hold, and you're just kind of spinning your wheels, as it were. Remember this, that the clay serves the good purposes of the potter. And never forget that this potter is a good potter. He's sovereign, that's true. He's almighty, but he's also all-loving. That's not true of the advice we can get from other people. Sometimes we wonder, even with the best of intentions, we can get bad advice from people. You can go to your father, your mother, your teacher, your pastor, your best friend, your counselor, and they might give you advice regarding your future, but that is not inspired advice. But God's purposes and God's designs for you are always good. I love to think of that. It's true, his designs, his purposes for our life are often very different from our ideas. Have you found that? You look back over your life and you think, I had no idea I'd be in this position today. I certainly can say that. And also, we have to say, those of us who have lived a little bit, as we look back over our life, some of the most painful experiences of our life, what C.S. Lewis calls a severe mercy. Have you ever experienced a severe mercy? Something which is very severe, something which is very, very painful, and yet it is a mercy, a severe mercy. Because some of the most painful experiences of our life can be the source of our greatest blessings. Our God, says Paul, to those of us who love God, we know that God works everything together for our good. Everything. Including when we mess up. God is so skilled, God is so able, he's so wise, he's so loving, that he can take that pot, that ugly clay, which perhaps some of us, if we knew about it, we'd want to say, I want nothing to do with that person. He takes it and he molds it and he makes it. And from that shapeless, ugly clay, he produces a vessel for honorable use, says Paul, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. God has purposes for you. Paul says that in Ephesians 2, after arguing extensively that we're saved by grace, not by works. But then he says, to those of us who are saved, we are God's workmanship, created for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Think of this. I'm God's workmanship. That word workmanship is a work of art. You are a work of art that God has over the years been shaping and molding you and working you according to his design, preparing you for certain purposes in your community, your family, wherever it is. And he never makes a mistake. It's true, the potter's hand brings pressure, but it also brings purpose. The pressure he puts on us, that discipline is always for a purpose, and that purpose is always good. So don't resent his purposes. Don't resent his timing. Be patient. God is at work. Trust him. The Lord has purposes for you. Psalm 57, verse 2, I cry out to God, Most High, to God, who fulfills his purpose for me. The clay serves the good purpose of the potter. That God has a purpose for you. You may understand a little bit of it, or you may understand none of it. But he's got design in view. He may not have revealed it to you, but he's shaping you and molding you. I have three lessons as we conclude. You know, these messages on Jeremiah, I've been reading Jeremiah over the years, and I always thought, someday I'm going to preach on it. And then I thought, well, how can I preach over 52 chapters and have a congregation at the end of it? Take about 10 years. You say, thank you for not preaching verse by verse through it. But it's impacted me greatly. Because, you know, one of the problems in preaching is you first have to preach to yourself. Easy to advise others, but God's word has to start in our own hearts, doesn't it? I thought last week, scarecrows for idols? I'm challenging people. What about myself? Any scarecrows in my life? They can be so subtle, can't they? They can come up. The devil can construct these strongholds in our minds, can't they? And then this message. I'm the clay, he's the potter. That calls for a response, doesn't it? At the end of this message, I'm going to call for a response. I'm going to ask you to do what I've done this week, is to reconsecrate my life to Christ. But here's the three lessons. First lesson, we've seen this. Apart from God, you have no hope of salvation. Do you get that? You're clay, you're dust, you have a deceitful heart. You worship scarecrows. You're like that shrub in the salt land. Isolated, desolate, without hope. Without God, you have no hope. And there's only one way of salvation, and that is through trusting the potter, who in his grace sends his son on this rescue mission, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who comes into this world to save us, to die on the cross for our sins. Not only dying for our sins, but rising again on the third day. He's a living God. He's active. This potter is actively at work in our lives. He's not a remote God. And you say, well, John, you don't need to convince me that I'm a sinner. Well, I'm glad you acknowledge you're a sinner. Here's the wonder of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God takes that nasty piece of clay that you've become, that hard piece. And you've hurt yourself, you've hurt others. You've really messed up your life, haven't you? But God does a wonderful thing out of his love for you. So he takes that and he remakes it. So that Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. God's workmanship. That God doesn't throw you away and discard you. No, he takes you, cleans you, reshapes you, remolds you, recommissions you, and says, now, this is why I created you. This is my design. This is my purpose for your life. If you humble yourself, if you turn from your sin and you embrace the wonderful Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, you will experience a life of blessing. Instead of being like this nasty shrub, isolated and lonely, he says in chapter 17, verse 7, you'll be the one whose trust is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. Does not fear when heat comes, for its leaf remains green. Is not anxious at the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This person has no fear. This person has no anxiety. Why? His trust is in the Lord. A life of isolation, a life of self-indulgence, a life where we turned our back on God and pursued our own dreams, and now in the grace of God, this individual is saved, changed, reshaped, recommissioned. Apart from God, first of all, you have no hope of salvation. The second lesson is this. To reject God is ultimately to be rejected by God. Here's Israel. One of the main messages, the whole point of the book of Jeremiah. Israel is delivered from slavery. They're given the law. They listen to the prophets. God sends to them prophet after prophet after prophet. But the message of the potter's house is this, that if you continue to resist God, the clay becomes harder. And when baked in the kiln, the clay is set, and Israel is set in their ways, their back is to God, and if they continue in that, judgment is coming. Yet, did you catch the words of mercy and restoration in verse 5 of chapter 8? Let me reread them. Jeremiah 18, verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I've spoken, here it is, here's the grace, here's the restoration, turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intend to do it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build up and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I intended to do to it. If you repent, Israel, you'll be saved. Look at the potter. The clay is spoiled in his hand. What does he do? He reworks it into another vessel as seems good to the potter. Israel, if you repent, God will do a wonderful thing. Not that you deserve it, but God's a God of grace, a God of restoration. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. Blessings will come on you. But if you continue to resist my voice, judgment is coming. That's what Jeremiah is saying. If you don't repent, judgment is coming. So look over to Jeremiah 19, verse 10. If you don't repent, that pot is going to be broken. Jeremiah 19, verse 10, then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so shall I break this people and the city as one breaks a potter's vessel, so that it can never be mended. You say, that's hard. Not really. Israel have had warning after warning, year after year after year, lesson after lesson after lesson. And God's grace is still extended to them. And if you repent, I'll rework that vessel. I will remold it and make it something beautiful. But if you continue to resist my voice, the nation's going to be broken. Illustration, yes, there's the vessel, the potter's vessel. And it's broken in front of them. Broken it to pieces. And historically, that is exactly what happens to Israel. They don't repent. And so Nebuchadnezzar from the north, he's just waiting. And he comes in, destroys them, destroys the temple, takes them captive. Let me say to you, God always forgives those who repent. Peter says, God is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's desire is for you to be saved. But some of you have listened to the preaching of the gospel, and you know the message, and you have persistently turned your back on God, think you know better than God, go your own way, make out your own plan. God in his grace has allowed you to pursue that, but the message is to reject God is ultimately to be rejected by him. If you reject salvation found in Jesus Christ, God on that day of judgment will reject you, and you will be eternally lost. It's one of the messages of the book of Jeremiah. Here's the third lesson. It's an obvious one, but I'm going to emphasize it. God is the potter, and you're the clay. Do you get that? That's not what our society tells us. Our society tells us to dream our own dream. Follow your heart. You can do anything you want to do. And if you're a Christian, God's going to help you to fulfill your dreams. No. What's the message of the Bible? Do my will. Follow me. I have plans and purposes for you, but you are to follow me. Here's our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. The perfect man, submitting, surrendering to the will of his Father and his God. No, don't try to tell God what to do. Don't try and tell God what kind of life you want. Don't tell God that He has got to make you, give you fulfillment of your own personal and probably very self-centered and self-serving dreams. No. Do you really think you're wiser than God? Who is the potter? Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe to him who strives with me, who formed me, a pot among the earthen pots. You're going to strive with God. You're going to resist God. You think you can handle God? You think you're wiser than God? You think you're greater than God? You can ignore God? Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? Get the irony of it. Clay saying to the potter, oh, you didn't make me right. I needed extra handles. You didn't quite get it right, God. How foolish, how tragic, how arrogant. But we do that, don't we? You've been trying to manipulate God. You want something. It may be even quite a good thing, but instead of waiting on God to give you that person, that situation, that answer to prayer, you find yourself manipulating God, advising God, wanting it with the handles, as it were. No, don't resist the potter. Remember, you are the potter, I am the clay. The wonderful thing is this, as I've said, that when we belong to the potter, when we're a child of God, he doesn't discard us when we fail. Think of Peter in his denial. No, he recommissions us, he remolds us, he sends us out, as it were. But I'm asking you today, as I challenge myself this week, stop trying to be king of your own life. Stop it. Will you surrender to the King of Kings? Our mission statement is that we are followers of Jesus. That means that he makes the decisions. He decides where we go. It's his purposes, it's his plans, and we are to follow. As a church, as families, as individuals, we are to follow Jesus Christ. So stop trying to be the potter. Realize you're the clay.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, In the Potter's Hand. As we continue this relevant study in the book of Jeremiah, we want to equip you with John's brand new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God. This thought-provoking biblical guide will help you explore many key themes and lessons found throughout the book of Jeremiah. As we're discovering, there are many parallels to our modern society, and this study resource will help you review and apply the important lessons of Scripture that are so timely for us today. So get your copy of John's booklet, When a Nation Forgets God, by going to our website at theverdict.org. While you're there, we also encourage you to take the opportunity to help us reach new listeners with the powerful, life-changing truth of God's Word by supporting our radio ministry with a donation. Your support will help us continue bringing these biblical messages to those who desperately need to hear the truth about sin, repentance, and the love of God. So please give today and help us reach more listeners by going online to theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out The Verdict Podcast, available on all major podcast apps. In addition to these daily lessons, John has a special weekly podcast called Avizandum. He explores relevant topics, giving them the careful consideration that Scottish law calls avizandum. So listen and subscribe to The Verdict Podcast today. Or you can always listen to Avizandum on our website at theverdict.org. Now, here's John.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you accepted that you're a fallen person, a clay pot that is cracked and broken, and needs the master potter, God himself, to work in your life? Don't resist him. As you become harder and harder, you become less and less useful to God. I find it very encouraging to think that God is in control and that we are there to serve the good purposes of the Master. So don't reject God. Surrender to him. Receive Christ as your Savior, and God will guide you for the rest of your life.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.